morning. I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7. NPR listeners may remember a couple of years ago a story on All Things Considered about an obituary in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. November 25th, 2014. Per mort, Aaron Joseph, age 35, died peacefully at home on November 25th after complications from a radioactive spider bite that led to years of crime fighting and a years-long battle with a nefarious criminal named Cancer, who has plagued our society for far too long. Civilians will recognize him best as Spider-Man and thank him for his many years of service. Aaron was a comic book aficionado, a pop culture encyclopedia, and always the most fun person at any party. He's survived by his first wife, Gwen Stefani, current wife, Nora, and their son, Ralph, who will grow up to avenge his father's untimely death. It was a postscript that went viral on the internet, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome the woman who penned that epitaph and who has now penned a new book called It's Okay to Laugh, Crying is Cool Too. Nora McInerney Permort, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Hello, thank you for having me.
That obituary was really something that captured the imagination of many. Were you surprised by the reaction to that Spider-Man obituary?
I was surprised they printed it because I kind of assumed they might fact-check an obituary, but just so all your listeners know, they don't, so go ahead. And tonight, sit down with your loved one and write your own obituary and write whatever you want, whatever makes you feel amazing, because they'll print it anyways. Or maybe now they won't after that happened. But I was very surprised. Aaron and I wrote that together the night that he entered hospice, and I'll remember that night for the rest of my life because we were crying, we were laughing so hard, and you know, we kept saying, there's no way they'll actually print this. But they did, and you know, just like it was a little wink for our city and our friends and family and the people who loved him. And that's what it was written for. And it was shocking to me, you know, people in Sweden sending it to me and, you know, like people all over the world sending it to me and saying like, oh, I found you through this. But it also felt totally normal in a way because that was so Aaron. Aaron had this way of making everyone feel like they were a part of something from like the first night we met. And he was out with, you know, 7,000 friends of his, which I didn't know. And he said, we were at an art gallery, and he said, my friends and I are going over to this other bar across town. Like, you and your cousin should join us. And I said, oh, great. Lillian, you have to come with me to this other bar a couple miles away. I know you don't want to, but a cute boy wants me to, so I'm going to do it. And we walked in, and he was sitting at a table with 50 people. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, I'm such a bozo. He was just being polite. Like, he was just inviting everyone. And he stood up, and he pulled over two more chairs, one for me and one for my cousin, and made us, like, a part of his world right away. That was just how Aaron was. So watching, you know, his very last creative effort on Earth take fire made total sense in a weird way. Our lives have been weird for the past 3 years, so it kind of made sense that it would just continue to be an unusual experience.
Well, I love how you set up the book with, you know, what to do with this one wild and precious life that we have. And really, it comes with the good and the bad. You do get to laugh, but you have to cry as well. You and Aaron married for just a short time before he was diagnosed with a serious form of brain cancer. And really, these meditations you have in It's Okay to Laugh have gotten me thinking about mortality, life, the universe, and everything. And I can only imagine that this was something that is not fun sometimes to face.
It isn't. I always thought, because nothing bad had ever happened to me, that if something bad were to happen, that would be the only thing that I would feel, and I wouldn't be strong enough for it. And it is definitely something that you feel, although plenty of people sort of, including me, for a small period of time, do tend to sort of try to avoid the uncomfortable feelings, like the icky feelings. And to just close your eyes and hope that the event will be over and then you can move on. And that isn't how it works. We are the sum of all of our experiences. And some of those experiences are like getting to fall in love with a perfect person and, you know, have a beautiful year of dating. You're both getting promoted and everything's going great. And a lot of those moments too are sickness and loss, not just of loved ones, but of friendships and jobs and, you know, the way of life that you were experiencing. And that is what a life is made of. It's all of these kinds of moments. It's worth it to take the time to feel the things that you're feeling and actually experience your experiences and not wish them away, because they are happening whether or not you want to pretend they aren't.
Nora McInerney-Permort, author of It's Okay to Laugh, Crying is Cool Too, a memoir. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.org. And with your life, Renee, well, I have to mention, you have some Cincinnati ties here. As I was reading It's Okay to Laugh, you mentioned going to Xavier University, graduating in English from there.
I did, yep. Class of 2005.
And magna cum laude, but why not summa? Oh, I'm sorry.
Literally the first thing my dad said to me when I got off the stage and we saw each other again. He was like, you sure? I thought you had better grades than that. I was like, Steve, come on. You know, I mean, I had my GPA on my resume for too long. Somebody had to tell me to take it off. And I was like, well, why would you work so hard if you don't get to talk about it? If you don't get to brag about it. But, you know, my time at Xavier was, like, just very, like, I think everybody, like, goes to college and sort of, you know, tries to figure out who they were. And I went to college and was like, somebody please tell me who I am. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I just never felt like I was ready to be there. And I was around all these kids who were so driven and knew exactly, you know, where they were going. And I ended up as an English major, but I think that I had like four or five other majors on the way to getting there.
So, well, I loved a line you had, I quoted it to somebody earlier today. I love this line. When you're an English major, they tell you you can do anything, but what they really mean is that you could just as easily end up doing nothing. So
exactly. Think of all the things you could do. And I'm like, I can't because I'm too scared. Tell me what to do, please. Like, I was so jealous of my friends who are, you know, business majors. They're like, I have a degree in accounting. Pretty clear what I'm going to go do now. And plenty of us have switched careers and, you know, had different paths to take in those subsequent years. But there's nothing like trying to step out into the world for the first time. And you're so sure that that first step is going to, like, truly determine the rest of your life. And it does not, necessarily. There's so many other things that, you know, you'll be able to do, and you can, you know, create your own path. You can go off syllabus and go off script a little bit. That had just never been, you know, my reality. So I left Xavier thinking like, oh God, now what? And I just remember thinking like, maybe should I take another year? Like, should I stay? Should I stay one more year, do you think?
Well, and It's Okay to Laugh. It's more comedy than tragedy, but there's a lot of tragedy involved. How were you, you know, able to cope with, well, the death of your husband? Your father died not long after. You had a miscarriage. There was a lot of tragedy that happened. How did you get up to a place that you could laugh?
I think that, honestly, the way that I was raised, my father was a funny man. He was very funny, very wry, very witty, clever. So it was just kind of like our natural way of life. And I hope that like comes across in the book. Like, you know, when my brothers and sister and I were trying to pick out, you know, my dad's casket, and we're arguing and then we're laughing, and the poor funeral director is like, oh God, like what have I gotten myself into? And Aaron was such a funny man. He was just, Aaron made everything more fun. He made everything fun, period. So even when we were in the hospital, like waiting for him to get radiation or waiting for his chemo to come, we were laughing all the time, all the time. He made me laugh so hard, even at things that most people wouldn't be able to laugh about. So it's just sort of like our normal way of being. Before my dad died, we were in the ICU, and he was trying so hard to deliver his jokes. But he had this breathing machine on, and I'll just always remember he asked my sister and I to sit on the edge of his bed, and we sat down, and he looked at my sister and he said, there's a weight limit. And, you know, and it was like perfect. It was just so perfect. He told me he wanted to tell me something, you know, that he'd been waiting years to tell me. And I was like, oh my God, my dad's been telling me I'm his favorite child. Everyone's listening. My mom is like crying, and he told me that I am adopted, and I don't think I am. I was like, we have the same face, sir, so either you carefully selected a baby who looked exactly like you. But it was very funny, and Aaron, you know, even on his deathbed, was laying in bed and told me, I'm always going to be with you. I'll always be watching over you, so you need to shut the bathroom door all the way, and you need to stop picking your nose. And because, you know, like, I sometimes just shut it like 85% of the way, especially at night. I'm like, come on. It doesn't have to be like, I don't know why. It takes the exact same amount of effort. It doesn't save you any time. But you're like, ew, you can't do that. You can't leave the door open even a crack. I'm like, we're married. I feel like I have like a right to that. So they were both like just funny, funny people. And I remember like having my miscarriage too and trying to make the nurses laugh, even though it was like a horrifying experience and devastated and still so sad about all of these things. And I have like my dad and Aaron and like their spirits and like their humor like with me all the time. And I can hear them commenting on the current things in my life too. Like I can hear the jokes that they'd be making about me even right now. So it's just sort of like who they were and who I am naturally. And I started out writing a super sad book. Boy meets girl, boy gets cancer, boy and girl get married, they have a baby, he dies. And that's factually a true account of what happened with Aaron and I, but it's also false because we were not a sad story. We are a love story, and nobody wants to be a sad story. All these things that happened, they sound terrible because they are, but they're also things that happen. And they happen every single day, and they always happen to someone else, and then they happen to you. And then they're real. And you know that you don't want to be whispered about. You don't want to be like, you know, somebody that people avoid at the grocery store, which does happen. You want to still like be yourself because you are. You're yourself with like this whole new experience wrapped around you, but you don't stop being yourself. That's what this book is. This book is us.
Well, you are big on online and Twitter, especially. And in this day and age with the social media, that can be a danger because along with the love, you get the hate. And I noticed in your acknowledgments that you do say, thank you. If you're one of my internet trolls, haters are my motivators.
That was also one of Aaron's jokes. He would say that to me anytime I like disagreed with anything he said. He was just very funny. But yeah, I mean, I would say 99% of the feedback that I get on anything or the interactions I have with people are positive. But there's always like a vocal 1%, which is, you know, the scourge and the beauty of the internet. The internet brings you beautiful things. The internet brings you, you know, flaming bags of dog crap at your doorstep, which has gotten better just sort of, you know, ignoring. But that's not my natural mode. My natural mode is to be like, oh my God, why don't you like me? What can I do, complete stranger, to completely change myself so I meet your approval? And I started to realize slowly, like, that's a really ridiculous, exhausting way to live. So, like, I guess if people react strongly enough in any way, I guess that's good. But it's also just, like, weird to me because I've never gone on the internet trying to, like, make someone else feel bad. It's just such a bizarre subsect of like humanity for me. I'm like, who are you? Who goes out of their way to say something mean to somebody? Like, it's just odd. Like, I'm really just talking about like my dead husband. I'm sorry that was so offensive to you.
Well,
the internet's a weird place.
A very weird place sometimes.
Yep.
Well, thank you for all the advice and insight provided in your book, and keep on keeping on, Nora.
Thank you.
Nora McInerney Permort. It's okay to laugh. Crying is cool, too, a memoir. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. As it says on the slipcover on the back, this is for everyone who wondered what exactly they're supposed to be doing with their one wild and precious life. I don't actually have the answer, but if you find out, will you text me? This is the Book Club at 91.7.